Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Archean Chemical Industries Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Also, before we go ahead, we would like to inform you that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinion, and expectation of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainty that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Pendurthi, Managing Director of Archean Chemical Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to all of you joining our Q3 and nine-month FY25 earnings call today. I truly appreciate all of you taking the time to be here with us today. I know it's a busy morning and busy time in the market, so let us go ahead. Before we get into the business updates, I would like to take a moment to introduce our new CFO, Mr. Natarajan Ramamurthy, who has joined us last month. He's a qualified chartered accountant and a certified public accountant from the U.S., bringing over three decades of experience from a diverse range of industries. His insights and expertise will be invaluable to us as we continue on our growth journey. We welcome him on board. At the same time, we would like to also thank and appreciate our erstwhile CFO, Mr. R. Raghunathan, for his contributions to the company, and we would like to wish him the very best for his future. Today, I'm also joined by Mr. N. R. Kannan, our Executive Director, Mr. Rajeev Kumar, DGM Finance, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. We had uploaded our investor presentation last night, and I assume everyone had a chance to go through the financial results and the presentation, and this is available on the stock exchange as well as on our company website. I will give you a quick snapshot on the recent developments of the company. Post that, Mr. Natarajan, our CFO, will walk you through the operational and financial performance of the company as well. To start with, the market overview and business outlook. As you know, the current macroeconomic conditions and uncertainties have heightened across the globe, and the chemical market and industry remains quite challenging. However, despite this, as your company, we remain confident about our long-term trajectory and our growth vision. The domestic consumption and demand in major global markets, including the U.S., China, and Europe, have faced some challenges, and some of them remain sluggish, resulting in an oversupply of certain raw materials, feedstocks, and, to gain market share, aggressive pricing from major suppliers. Consequently, as you're aware, average realizations for the chemical industry as a whole have been under pressure for some time. While post the Chinese New Year, for our own business, we expect a partial recovery in both demand and pricing, and we are seeing this uptick happen as we speak. Of course, the impact of ongoing tariff changes on global trade will have to be ascertained as we go forward, and everyone has to have their own strategy to deal with the same as and when it happens and if an impact happens on any of us. On the domestic front, India remains a strong structural growth story within the emerging markets, offering new opportunities. We obviously have a dominant position within the bromine space in India, and we continue to build on that. We are committed fully to navigating these challenges while staying focused on expanding our market share and improving operational efficiencies. Coming to our company itself, we are happy to announce that your company has been awarded the Responsible Care Certification in the past quarter by the Indian Chemical Council, which is valid for the next 3 years. This recognition is a testament to our continued deep commitment to sustainability, safety, and ethical business practices. I want to personally thank our employees for making this possible. It's their dedication that keeps us moving forward and the faith the shareholders have in the company. For Q3 FY25, our revenue stood at ₹255 crores. While we have seen some short-term moderation demand, we believe these are temporary. Our order book continues to be healthy, and for the next 6 months to 12 months, both bromine and salt have locked in volumes. We have been actively working to strengthen our relationships with customers, optimize costs, and enhance supply chain efficiencies. More importantly, we have also been successful in onboarding new clients, which is a strong indicator for future growth and also the confidence that buyers have in us for the long term. With the weather-related disruptions that caused some slack in the supply chain and logistics that flowed into last quarter and some part of towards the end of the last quarter, this is largely now behind us, and we have been consistently improving our logistics performance this quarter and will continue to do so in the coming quarters. This obviously will help us do better in terms of both volumes and realizations. Coming to the segmental performance, elemental bromine, the bromine business is showing signs of recovery as we anticipate a gradual pickup in demand ahead. And especially with China's recent stimulus measures, we are seeing some pickup on the ground in terms of construction activity and other projects in China. Prices have remained stable, and in some cases we have seen slight improvements as well. We expect to produce nearly 20 to 25,000 tons of bromine in FY26, including captive consumption. Moving on to industrial salt. As informed in our last call, we had faced some challenges last quarter due to monsoon and cyclone Asna, and obviously things are getting back on track. Our dispatch process has been smooth and likely to improve further, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, improving our volumes. We're optimistic about achieving 1 to 1.2 million ton run rate in the coming quarters and constantly working on improving the supply chain as well on this front. SOP. Our SOP trials are progressing well. We see improved performance from this vertical in the very near future. These three core businesses form the backbone of our company, ensuring a steady cash flow and giving us the financial flexibility to invest in future growth projects. Coming to Acume, our subsidiary for bromine derivative products, the ramp-up of a bromine derivatives plant is progressing steadily, and we anticipate meaningful revenue growth in FY26. On the clear brine fluids, we have successfully dispatched few trial shipments, and we are working closely with clients to refine their specific requirements. However, as you all are aware, approval from oil and gas procurement departments is a bit slower because of the technical specifications and grades involved. But we are confident of getting these trials accepted and also the quantities improving in the coming quarters. We expect a healthy contribution from CBF segment in the coming quarters. In PTA synthesis, the demand remains steady, supported by growth in textiles and packaging industries. We see good opportunities here as polymer consumption increases. In all, we believe that the bromine derivatives business will pick up in the next few quarters, and we are confident of achieving the growth targets that we've set ourselves up for FY26. Orin Hydrocarbon, this is the company that we acquired through the NCLT route in July 2024. We are making good progress on bringing these units back into operation. After a number of years of being non-operative, refurbishment works obviously takes time, and we plan to restart two units this quarter with two more in the coming months. This business complements our CBF segment, which primarily caters to the oil and gas industry. The order inquiries look promising, and we're optimistic about its future potential as well. Coming to our strategic initiatives, which we have shared over the last few quarters, investment in the semiconductor manufacturing business. One of the recent developments for us has been the groundbreaking of a semiconductor facility at the Utkarsh Odisha Enclave during end January 2025. This is an important step for our company and a proud moment for all of us. Through our subsidiary, Sixthent Private Limited, we will eventually invest up to 3,000 crores in a compound semiconductor facility, the first of its kind in the country, which integrates wafer fabrication for key industries such as electric vehicles, energy storage, industrial tools, data centers, fast chargers, and consumer appliances, etc. The state government of Odisha has allotted 14.5 acres of land in Bhubaneswar for this project under the Odisha Semiconductor and Fabless Policy 2023, further reinforcing commitment to India's semiconductor ecosystem, which is encouraged and envisaged by ISM, India Semiconductor Mission. Earlier, we have made a strategic investment in Classic Wafer Fab Limited, a U.K.-based company specializing in silicon carbide wafer manufacturing. This is India's first investment in a company with silicon carbide MOSFETs devices production capability. Primary subscription of 10 million British pounds and secondary purchase of 2.5 million is completed, and the balance 2.5 million will be done at a later stage. Coming to our investment in energy storage solutions, our company has committed a total investment of $12 million in Off Grid Energy Labs, Inc., Delaware, U.S., a company specializing in zinc bromide battery technology. This investment aligns with the company's broader strategy to enter the energy storage sector, particularly focusing on renewable energy and industrial storage applications. Our bromine business synergizes directly with the zinc bromide-based batteries. We're confident that this will be a significant growth area for us in the future, with the increasing focus on sustainable energy solutions in India and as well as storage solutions globally. We continue to remain a net debt-free company with a strong balance sheet. This financial resilience allows us to make strategic investments and sustain long-term growth. Our focus is on executing our business plans effectively and continue to create value for all stakeholders in both the present businesses and in the new growth businesses that we've identified and started investing in. Now, I request our CFO, Mr. Natarajan Ramamurthy, to give highlights on the financial performance.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, and a very good morning to all the participants on the call. I would like to give you a quick financial summary of Q3 FY25 on standalone basis. Total income increased to 2,547 million in Q3 FY25 from 2,520 million in Q2 FY25. Operational profit increased to 755 million in Q3 FY25 from 698 million in Q2 FY25. Within the operating revenue, export market contributed around 76%, and remaining 24% came from domestic market. Our business mix are as follows in Q3 FY25. Bromine contributed 38% of the operating revenue, whereas industrial salt contributes around 61% of the total revenue. EBITDA for the company stood at 963 million in Q3 FY25, with a margin of 38% and improvement over the last quarter. Forex gain in Q3 was 4.27 crore. Coming to nine-month FY25 performance highlight, total income stood at 7,301 million in FY25. Previous year, total income was at 10,791 million. Operational profit stood at 2,104 million in FY25. Previous year, it was rupees 3,491 million. Export market contributed around 75%, and remaining 25% came from domestic market. Our business mix are as follows in nine-month FY25. Bromine contributed 40% of the total revenue, whereas industrial salt contributes around 60% of the total revenue. EBITDA for the company stood at 2,710 million in 9 months of FY25 with a margin of 37.1%. We have started sourcing power from renewable resources, thereby reducing our carbon footprint and achieving the financial savings. Forex gain for the 9 months of FY25 was 7.32 crore. We continue to remain net debt-free and have a strong balance sheet. Thank you. Now I request SGA to open the floor for Q&A.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. Sir, first on to the bromine business, as you have mentioned in your commentary that we are witnessing an uptick. I believe, sir, so almost around 6 monthly volumes and prices are already contracted. So this uptick would be largely visible from Q1. Is that a fair assumption to take?
Yes, I think it is a fair assumption to make, and I think you will continue seeing that go through the remaining quarters as well. Because obviously as we keep finishing the contracts, we keep getting the new ones. So, yes.
Okay. Sir, onto the salt business. Sir, we are seeing some moderation into the prices of salt. And there also, sir, I believe almost around 1 year of the volumes and prices are contracted. So, this moderation in prices, you see the new contracts which we'll be making, that would be at lower prices. And because 60% of our business comes from salt, do you see any sort of a decline in the salt business from here on?
I think the salt business continues to be very healthy, and given the fact that we've been in this business for a long time, most of our customers, again, are large customers. However, at the same time, we have tweaked the strategy a bit. There is an opportunity to make a little bit more on the pricing if we are doing some business on a more spot basis. When I say spot, it doesn't mean we fix today and ship tomorrow. It means, you know, 1 month out, right? So I think, you know, between that blend, the pricing, you know, would be, I think, still on a very firm footing. If we compare it to the last year's contract pricing, yes, it will be a bit below that. But at the same time, I think, given the fact that some of these are C&F contracts, we may gain some on the freight, given that, you know, oil prices are also a bit moderated now. So overall, I think on a contribution basis, we will still endeavor to maintain that margin.
Okay, got it. So my next question is on to the recent investment like we have planned for 2028. So this 3,000 crore investment would be done solely by Archean, or it would be done by your subsidiary, Sixthen?
The investment will happen on Sixthen Private Limited books. Archean Chemicals will play a role either in helping with the financing as a parent, or in terms of, you know, providing some ancillary services like industrial gases, etc., which are a very important component of the semiconductor plant.
Okay, and sir, this big investment, I believe, sir, we have not done any such big investment till now. Sir, how you see like things will shape up, like what would be the asset turnover? I believe this is a business which is more capital intensive. So what sort of a number you can, if you can guide anything like from 28 to around 2030, this 2 years, how this business will shape up in terms of the financial performance, and for this, how much debt we will take, I think. For this, our balance sheet also would be leveraged to some extent, considering even the operating cash flows and cash which we have. You see like balance sheet also like, so leveraging a bit on that part, and how the numbers will shape up.
So I'll answer the first part and last part of your question, and I'll address the middle part of your question. The first part is, I think, in terms of any investment, right, small or large, ultimately, you need to keep two, three things in mind. One is, does it create value for all stakeholders in the longer term? If we invest today, what is the risk and what is the reward? And is it the right industry to be in from a growth perspective? And is it future-looking in terms of both? Does it serve an unmet need within the domestic market, and is there a potential for an export market? So we understand the markets well, right, both domestic and export. Now, in terms of risk and reward, obviously, we've done that analysis, and we believe that it is the right project to invest in. And the third part is, you know, I think, does it create long-term value? For sure, it does in our view. Now, the last part of the question in terms of, you know, leverage, I think we're very sensitive to leverage. As you know, since listing also, we continue to be a debt-free company. And we would like to see how best we can use the balance sheet without having to expose the parent unnecessarily. But at the same time, we will have to go to the banking system, and then we have to see what kind of financing we're able to, you know, structure around this. At the same time, I think in terms of your middle part of your question, in terms of what is the outlook in terms of cash flow, etc., between 28 and 2030, I think that's a bit of putting the horse before the cart. I think at the right time, when we do the financial closure, I think it will become clearer, and we are more than happy to update the stakeholders at that point. My colleague Raji would like to add something here.
Good morning. Also, on the financing side, a good part of this CAPEX will be provided as a subsidy by the state government, which is approved by the Odisha state government under Odisha Semiconductor and Fabless Policy 2023. Our project is also pending with under review with Indian Semiconductor Mission. So, the whole financing we will be able to answer once we have a clarity from the center government as well.
Just one last follow-up on this. So what would be the peak revenue from this business, and our overall margins are somewhere around 30-35% range. So since this is a capital intensive business, margins would drip down on consolidated. Any sort of a numbers that you can share, what would be the peak revenues and...
I mean, at the moment, you know, at the moment we are, I think, not ready yet to share. But at the same time, I want to quickly also mention that not all capital-intensive businesses need to be low on margins. I think it's a sector-specific. I mean, if I go back in history, when we invested 1,200, 1,300 crores in our Arkin Chemicals project, it was considered high capex relative to anybody else having done a similar investment in a similar field. But we've been able to deliver, you know, healthy margins, you know, consistently for many years. And going forward, we plan to do that as well. So I think, like I said, things will become clearer once, you know, we move towards financial closure, and we'll be happy to update those, I think, the business projections at that point.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Sanjay Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Let me first start with the bookkeeping question, sir. Can you help us with the segmental revenue and volume sales?
Hello, yeah, this is Natarajan. In Q3, industrial salt sales was 758,000 metric ton, and the bromine was 4,600 metric ton.
Okay. And what was the revenue?
Revenue, industrial salt was 1,491 million, and bromine was 929 million.
Okay. And there was no sales from the SOP side in this quarter?
Yeah, there was a sale, some 4.3 million SOP.
Okay, very small. And volume would be?
Volume already given, no? 82 metric tons, sir.
82 metric, and that's very clear. Thank you. Now coming back to the bromine, Ranjit sir, you mentioned that you are looking at 20 to 25,000 metric ton, including captive. How much do you expect captive will be required next year? Because we are looking at gradual ramp up both in clear brine fluid and PTA. And this year itself, I think in the elemental, we will be reaching what, 19,000-20,000 metric tons. So we are not looking at a significant jump in the elemental as well.
So thank you, Sanjesh, for the question. I'll probably have Mr. Kannan, our executive director, answer that question on how much captive we plan to use for next year, which is primarily in our downstream unit.
Hi, Sanjesh. This is Kannan. So currently, in this quarter, our share for captive will be around 5 to 7%, which will obviously grow next year, next full year, and this can exceed about 20-25%. That's the kind of numbers we are looking at.
In that case, what we are looking in the elemental is not a material growth for the elemental. So what's stopping us driving that elemental to a potential of 28,000 metric ton, which we were earlier aiming at?
I think we continue to give a conservative estimate because at this, you know, we would like to ensure that we're able to deliver. I think 2 quarters in to the next year, we possibly will have a chance to review that number and see if we need to maintain it or upgrade it. But the improvements that we made in the last quarter and continue to make this quarter, I think we would like to start seeing those results before we know we promise more. But the fact is that we know what we would like to consume in the downstream unit, and we know what we can produce at a minimum on the parent level. So in that combination, you know, if you assume 25,000, so and as Mr. Kannan said, 20 to 25% gets consumed. And if you back work, you do end up at about 20,000, which is what, you know, we are doing at the moment. So we would like to, you know, be a little bit cautious than be aggressive and promise things.
But how is the demand outlook? I got that cautiousness. But when you talk to the customer, do you see next year volume coming up in a normalized way? How do you
give you
increased competition from ICA, because they keep telling that they are pushing a lot more volume for them.
Yeah. So I think I'll probably answer part of this question and then give it to Mr. Kannan. So I think it's good that ICL is pushing more volume, which means the market is healthy, right, and is ready to absorb. So it only comes down to how much more we can make. As you know, we've never struggled with having to sell the bromine. So we continue to sell whatever it is that we make, and our backlog also indicates that, you know, the offtake continues to remain healthy. And with the little price uptick that's happening, I think that will also flow down to our bottom line as well. So on the demand side, we are not seeing any let up of any sorts. And I think as we continue to build that customer base as well, you know, adding a few more customers, spreading the material down a little bit, this will also ensure in years to come, you know, we have a more diversified customer base. But maybe a little bit more insight into market, Mr. Kannan can give, because in the domestic market is an important one here in bromine.
Yeah, thank you. So basically, you know, the growth of ICL, if you look at from the different supplier share, it's also likely that, you know, declines from one supplier would have contributed to ICL's growth. That's also a possibility. But overall, the other dimension which includes, which impacts our demand, our supply is basically some sectoral variations. For example, the agrochem industry in the last quarter has not been very, very strong. But it has been maintaining its share, not in a very aggressive way, but in a muted way. That we are looking at as a revival is likely to happen maybe later in this quarter, and definitely when we move into Q1 of next financial year, we see a revival, and accordingly that where we are already present, that is the sector space we are already present, and we will grow in that. So overall, as Mr. Ranjit said, we are not really worried about the demand. There is a good demand, and we will rise up to the requirements and meet those demands. That we are confident of.
Got it. Next on the pricing of the bromine, I think rupee depreciation itself should add good 5-6% to the realization. When we say that we are looking at uptick in the realization, are we talking in dollar term or rupee term?
We are talking in rupee terms. Basically, there are two factors. One, as you rightly said, there is a realization of increase, the depreciation of dollar, there's improved realization. But we also have some past contracts which are, you know, continuing. So you will, it's a combination of factors which has resulted in the rupee level gain for bromine. Some past contracts at older price having a benefit of dollar depreciation, and certain rupee transactions in Indian market which have also been increased. So it has been a combination of both factors which you see as final impact on the realization for bromine.
Got it, got it. My next question is on the SOP and Orange side. SOP, Ranjit sir, you said that you are looking to restart the plant at a gradual ramp up in volume possible. So next year, can we again touch the historical number of 20,000 metric ton what we used to do earlier? Is it possible to achieve that number consistently and grow, because we are sitting on a very large capacity base? And on the Orange, I think you mentioned that you are planning to start two plants this quarter and another two plants in the next few months. Any outlook for FY26? The historical peak for Orange was almost 400 crore. The commissioning of these four plants should be touching as a 50% revenue target, say in FY26.
Well, I think on SOP, you know, we are in the process of you know, initiating the pilot runs and trials at site. Basically moving it from lab where it's been tested, and the results are what we wanted. So that should happen, you know, we are aiming to do it pre-monsoon because that's the best time to test it. So if that does happen, then the ramp up will start, you know, post monsoon in the dry season. And we think we should be able to get some meaningful contribution from SOP. At the moment, I'm not very sure of committing a 20,000 ton number, but yes, I think ideally that would be a reasonable number to expect, right? On Oren itself, the two plants, you know, basically products that go into, again, oil and gas drilling, they are almost ready. And I think the trials, etc., with customers have started. And we'll probably have clarity over that, you know, I think towards the end of March or beginning April. But we're conscious that we would like to start bringing in revenues from that unit. Our investment, of course, remains low, considering, you know, the other capexes that we have. But at the same time, since July, you know, effectively when we got possession, etc., it was almost, I think, August, September. So in 4 or 5 months, you know, we managed to get two plants up and ready. So I think we would start seeing meaningful revenues from there as well. I think over the next quarter, we'll probably be able to be in a better position to commit more on what the exact numbers would look like.
Very clear. One last question. On the bromine derivative side, when we say that we are looking at a captive consumption of around 4,000 crores of bromine, this implies that CBF and the PTA volume should be upwards of 10,000 metric ton?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the right understanding, correct?
Yes, yeah. For sure, yeah.
Any update on the flame retardant, or it still remains in the pause?
No, we have restarted, I think, the dialogue on transfer of technology. On flame retardant, given that, you know, I think we've always believed in that business being a natural extension of our derivative business. And I think we have, like I said, we restarted work on that on paper. And over the next few months, we'll hopefully start working on the ground in that direction. And given that, of course, on the electronic side, there's a lot of movement on FR products. It continues to be an attractive area for us as a bromine manufacturer.
Got it. And it will be with the long-term contract or just a technology transfer?
Well, I think we would like to have more flexibility with pricing and not have to necessarily tie ourselves up into a buyback type of arrangement. So I think we'd like to see a product that's technically qualified from an end user perspective. And if we are to do any sort of long-term contracts, we'd like to probably do them with end users and not intermediate players.
Got it. Got it. Super helpful, sir. Thanks for answering all those questions and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Rohit Nagaraj from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. The first question is again on the semiconductor initiative. Do we have any project timelines for the same, given that we have already, you know, done the groundbreaking ceremony? What could be the milestones that we would achieve over the next 2 to 3 years? Any, you know, basic timelines if you can share?
Yeah, so I think we're obviously very excited about the groundbreaking, and I think it is definitely an important step in our journey towards getting this project up and running. However, I think between groundbreaking and actually starting construction, there's obviously a whole host of things that need to be in place. One of the important ones is land, which again we already have and allotted. So I think that's an important step as well. And then you move into the local permissions, etc., for construction, and then start calling and reviewing tenders, bids, etc. So we are evaluating, working with a large firm for managing this as a PMO. And I think that will assist us in putting things together very quickly and having to maintain a lean team internally, but at the same time bringing better execution capability than what we may have internally. And I think these are the factors that we have taken into place over the next few months. So I think, again, this is something possibly we'll have a clearer and a better update for you in the next quarter. But between now and then, I think we're putting the pieces together in the background.
But would it safe to assume, I mean, we had earlier indicated that it will take about 24 to 36 months. Is that the timeline that we can expect from, say, early January 2025?
No, I think once we put shovel to ground, I think it's 24 to 30 months, not from January 25.
Fair enough. But again, I'm slightly delving into it. Given that it's a combination of project with the government of Odisha, does that not lead to, you know, faster approval, at least from the regulatory perspective, that land has been given and the allied approvals? So, I mean, is it safe to assume that those, you know, PC, etc., which takes usually anywhere between 6 months to 1 year, should be probably, will be able to get it faster than the normal process?
I think we have great support from the Odisha government, which is why we've been able to get it up, so get it up and running in terms of approvals, etc., that we got so far. And also the government of India has also a very strategic and important role to play in the semiconductor space. So I think it's a combination of both their supports that we will need to get this project ready and commissioned. Yes, I think the fact that the Odisha government is 100% behind this project and has committed to helping us in any which way they can, it should help us in being able to navigate the approvals, etc., at a quicker pace.
Sure. Just last clarification. So in terms of the products that will be manufacturing here, it will be the acquisition that we have done on the classic Waker tab. So the products and technology that we will be receiving from this investment, those are the products which will be manufactured in Sixthum, or there will be any additional things which could also come in?
So the investment in classic is for the technology and the process know-how to make certain products. So that will be obviously used by Sixthum under the licensing, royalty and consulting agreement. And for the products that we make at 6M, that we will be solely responsible for what we wish to make and want to make. So that's within our domain. We are not bound by an agreement as such with anyone. So I think that call we will take given the very large end use for the products. So it's a very vast area. So we'll start working, you know, with industry on that front.
And the technology that we'll be using here will be paying royalty for the same. But we don't have restrictions in terms of using those technology products only in India so that we can have the global market as well. So is that the right assumption?
So the technology is for a fab to be set up in India, but the end product can be sold anywhere.
Yeah, this is very helpful. So a couple of questions on the legacy business. One is in terms of the salt volume. So Q2, the volumes were impacted because of the cyclone. Why it has continued even in Q3? And if you can give just 9 months volumes and revenue figures for all the three products.
Yeah, okay. This is Natarajan. I'll give you the number up to 9 months. Sales quantity of industrial salt is 2.2 million and the bromine is 14,000.
There is 2.2 million for the first 9 months.
9 months.
Right. And the revenue as well?
4,140 million.
And for bromine?
Bromine is 2,769 million.
Okay. And salt volumes, I mean, why there was impact again in Q3?
So I think this I had mentioned during my introduction, introductory comments. So I think we had some logistical challenges on the mobilization and transport, but I think that's effectively what we've ironed out over the last month or so, towards the end of the quarter. Having that done, you will see that the volumes pick up this quarter and in the coming quarters.
Right. Just one last question. On the lease front, any new update that we have received from the government?
It's, I think, a work in progress. I don't have any fresh update as such. But I think we continue to, await the approvals. And we've just been, I think, told that it's under progress.
And is there any similar incidents with parallel maybe companies or so where the approval has elongated for such a long time?
To my knowledge, my update is a few weeks old. I believe people are waiting or companies are waiting.
This is very helpful. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a request to participants to please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from Rushabh Shah from RBS Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Just on the FY26 direction on the revenue growth front, given that you're anticipating pickup in the base business as well as the derivative business coming on stream, so can you expect double-digit kind of growth in revenues in FY26? Is that a reasonable assumption?
Sorry, you're a little muffled. I couldn't hear the question. Can you repeat?
Yeah, okay. So I just want to understand directionally from your end in terms of revenue growth for FY26. Given that you are expecting pickup in base business as well as derivatives coming on stream, so is the double-digit revenue growth kind of a reasonable assumption for FY26?
It is.
Okay. And secondly, sir, you mentioned that we may be eligible for the central government subsidy in the under ISM. So what is the probability that we might get that subsidy? However, when can we know the decision of the government?
I think as a company, I can only be very hopeful. For the sake of all the stakeholders. But I think Do we have a very good application put in? Yes, we do. And I think it checks all the boxes. So now we have to leave it for them to evaluate. And I think given the track record they have shown in the last couple of years, I think they've been very sensible and very pragmatic in how they have approved the projects. And I think they're a very capable set of people, and I think we'll get the right evaluation done, and we can only hope for the best.
Just last clarification from my end. We had placed certain shares of the company at the promoter group level. Just want to understand what is the use of the money, and are we going to further pledge this holding in Archean Chemicals?
I think the pledge that happened is not necessarily connected to Archean Chemicals or the business on Archean Chemicals. It's at a promoter level. So I think on and off, you know, there is some amount of funding required, which, you know, which is what the pledge serves as. But we don't anticipate any big movements in pledge. So, you know, I think we are at the moment, we are about 3%. So I anticipate, you know, we should not be crossing more than 5% now or in the near future.
Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Srishti J from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So with respect to the 3,000 crore investment in the semiconductor facility, will the investment ex-subsidy, whatever it may be shared between us and the partner, considering it's a 70% holding subsidiary?
Yes, we hold 70% in the subsidiary, and there's a co-founder with us, a gentleman with the background and the know-how of the semiconductor business. So what was the question again, madam?
Will this investment be shared between us? So is he just the technology provider?
Understood.
Or will he, or, yeah.
No, I think he's a operating partner cum shareholder. So he's the managing director of that company. So the investment will be from our side.
Understood. And sir, there are, you know, the state wants to attract a lot of companies, so we're expecting a lot of companies to set up shop in the semiconductor space. So what, you know, what we think is a right of win here, and are we expecting more tie-ups like towards the classic wafer tie-up?
I mean, I can give you a generic answer because I don't know the strategy of each state, but obviously each state runs their own invest in so-and-so state programs, which I think is great for the country as a whole. The more investments come in, more jobs, the economy moves, there's a multiplier effect. We create higher paying jobs, we develop skill sets in areas that we don't have today. Institutes get to play a role in it, you know, premier, local, et cetera. So I think as an ecosystem, I think it's a great thing. I think one can't be afraid of competition, because even if you're novel today in the business you do, tomorrow somebody may set it up and compete with you. So I think each one has their own strategy in how to address the market, and similar to what we have, right? So there's a certain capability that we have, there's a certain faith we have in the business, there's a certain belief we have in the future of the business. And then, like I said earlier, you know, when we measure the risk-reward metrics, you know, we take a call that it's a good place to, you know, put money into, and then we move forward. So I think, to answer your question, I think it's good if more investments come in, because you have a larger talent of people, resources available to carry on the business.
Sure, sir. But are we also looking at more tie-ups for in terms of technological or any other way?
At the moment, I don't think we need any more tie-ups. I think we got the most important one, which is the process know-how for the compound semiconductor. And I think with our equity investment also in the company that's giving us that, I think it gives us a very sound, firm footing. And I think, as I said in the commentary, this makes us unique in our position in India. We're probably, irrespective of the size we are, I think we're the only ones who've ventured and made an investment in a compound semiconductor fab overseas. Albeit small, but the size is not the important thing. The process and know-how and the capability of the company we've invested in, that's the most important thing in the semiconductor business.
Understood, sir. And so one last question on Off Grid Energy Labs. So the 2-year roadmap that we have is for the pilot plan to set up in UK, right?
Yes.
And post this, we will think about a legal factory if at all required in India.
Yes, definitely. I think that business also, obviously, the growth potential is pretty large. The market is large, especially for stationary storage systems and energy storage. I think that's a growing market. The fact that it ties in with our bromine business through zinc bromide technology, I think helps us on both fronts. One, for our own business of bromine, as well as secondly, getting into a high growth space with very sound battery technology that remains under control and can be produced without having to depend too much or maybe if anything, nothing at all on imported parts or components.
Sure, Sam. Do you expect in the near term any additional capital commitment here?
I think in the near term, in the next 6 months to a year, I don't think we have any big capital commitments. Maybe towards these two projects, not necessarily off-grid, but semiconductor, maybe, you know, things related to groundwork, civil, etc., some advances on equipment and all those things. But beyond that, we don't have any large capexes planned at the moment.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, so please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Next question is from Chetan Joshi from Tulsi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me an opportunity. My first question is that in June 24, there was the lowest quarterly sales which we had done in the last 2.5-3 years. So can you expect that is the lowest and from here we will see improvement and try to achieve the figures which we were doing earlier, so 21-22 or 22-23. And which project, second question is which project, the battery one or the semiconductor one, which will go on stream first?
I heard the second question clearly, but the first one was a bit muffled. So okay. I will answer the second. Sure, you can repeat. Yeah.
See, in June 24, we that was the lowest sale which we achieved for June quarter 24 in last 3 years. Now, can we expect that that is the bottom which we it was there, and from here onwards the benchmark will be that definitely there will be improvement in the sales in coming quarters after the addition of these two new units which we have bought?
So I think the June 24 quarter, apologies, I don't have the figure right away in front of me because it's 6 months old. But anyhow, I think going by your question, yes, I think we don't anticipate to be hitting anywhere near that number, you know, in the coming quarters. Like I said, I think our volumes are picked up over the last couple of months and will continue to do so on both bromine and salt. And I think we will continue to endeavor to, you know, improve those volumes. For the second part of your question, I think which will come first? I think you're talking about 24 to 30 months. However, the second one, the off-grid energy is first going to be commissioned in the pilot plant stage, which itself, you know, is maybe 18 months, 24. So in all probability, we would anticipate that the semiconductor project would come up first from a commercial revenue generation perspective.
Thank you very much. Due to time constraints, we'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Petrodi for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining us on this earnings call today. We appreciate your time and showing interest in our company. We understand, you know, things are challenging. The market on the chemical industry side, you know, is challenging. However, I think we are holding our ground and I think your company continues to be resilient to market forces, and we continue to see improvements on the ground, and we are firmly behind our commitment to keep it going. And our investments that we are making also will create, we believe, a longer term value, and that's the vision we have. And we would like to look beyond a quarter or two. I think the company has been set up in a way that it will deliver value in the immediate term as well as in the longer term, and our investments will pay off. So, however, in case of any queries, please feel free to get in touch with us or SGA, our investor relations advisors. And thank you once again, and we look forward to meeting all of you over the next call. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Arcane Chemical Industries Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.